Hey, everyone. Welcome to Thriving Marriage with Mark and Bethany. This is our weekly discussion of marriage and family in the Christian life. And our topic today is, why do we need to work on our marriage? We want to answer that question. And actually, what we are going to present to you today is six reasons as to why we think you should work on your marriage. Okay. And so that's the plan. And one of the reasons we're even asking the question is because we have recently written a book on marriage. And in our last episode, we made the big announcement that there is a brand new book out there called Thriving Marriage. Yes. And it's very much so an extension of this podcast. And why should someone pick up that book and read it? Well, maybe the answers to these questions today might help people move that direction.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you might be sitting here listening, I don't need another book. I don't have time for that. I don't think I need to work on it. Or, our marriage is fine. And I think it's good to think about, why is it important as a Christian to put effort into this relationship? And we put a lot of effort into a lot of places, a lot of time. And so we need to make sure we put time and effort into the one we said I do to however many years ago. Mm-hmm, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's reason number one. Why should you work on your marriage? Well, reason number one, you made a promise to do so. You made a covenant. You vowed vows in the presence of God and many witnesses. And so we would say that the marriage relationship is your top earthly priority relationship. Okay, it is a covenant that you have formed, and you've got to take that seriously still.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of any other person on this planet that I have entered into a covenant with, that I have a ring around my finger that reminds me of the promises I made, and sickness and health, you know, when we get older, when we change, when there's a trial and there's kids enter the picture. There is not another person in this world that I have that same covenant relationship with. You're the man.
Okay, well, yeah, so you said it differently the second time. The first time, you're like, I can't think of anyone else that I have a covenant with. Maybe they're out there. I don't know. I just can't think of them.
I know there's no one out there. You are the only one. Let me clarify.
And let the listener know.
Uh-oh, no, don't tell him.
When Bethany, just now, when Bethany said, I have a ring on my finger, I'm just going to let you, listener, know that was not 100% true.
Well, it's like a metaphorical ring.
Look, Bethany's wearing her ring right now.
And it's like I can see the ring in my mind and it's on my finger.
I'm upset about it. Okay. I've got my ring on. I mean, it's silicone. I think I ordered an Amazon 4-pack.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not the ring I gave you.
I guess neither of us are wearing the ring that we gave each other. Okay. But at least I'm wearing a ring.
But the symbol is there.
No, it's not.
The symbol is there. In my mind, it's there.
Well,
what I'm saying.
It's not just for your mind. It's for other people. It's for all the guys out there.
That's true. Forgive
to know.
Me. Look, tomorrow when you see me.
She's taken.
The ring will be on.
All right.
The finger.
Great. Wow,
my bad. My
great.
Bad.
Okay, well, glad we established one reason why we need to work on our marriage. It's because it's a covenant and it's your top earthly relationship. But a second reason that we think you need to work on it is that marriage simply takes work. Having a good marriage takes work. We don't drift toward closeness with each other. So we've got to put some effort into it.
Yeah. Yeah, even today. You and I had a conversation where you're like, what is wrong? I mean, just to be frank and honest, and there was stuff that was wrong, and it's kind of I was going to say it was brewing under the surface, but I think it was bubbling.
Yeah, it was pretty visible.
Yeah. The surface. There wasn't a lot of brewing.
No.
You're more of the brewing one, and I'm the bubbling over one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we had to talk about things, and I'd open up and that's good, and it was a needed discussion, and you had to pry a bit and be patient, but that's because it takes work sometimes to know what's going on in my heart. It takes work to know what are the issues that I'm dealing with, and even for myself, I didn't really even know exactly what was bothering me until we entered into that conversation, and so it's just we need to have those conversations and others, many others, regularly.
Yes, absolutely. All right, a third reason that we think you need to work on your marriage relationship is because it can bring joy and satisfaction into your life. I mean, I think we can establish that from Scripture, which I can, you know, actually, if you want to pull up a proverb while I'm talking, that would be great, in Proverbs chapter 15. But we can establish this concept from Scripture, but we can also just use common sense or our experience to recognize that this closest human relationship can be a great source of joy in our life. And the opposite is also true. It can be a huge challenge and difficulty in our life. But we want to work on it because we're called to joy in this world. And this is one big way that we can have joy as Christians.
Yeah. Yeah. Proverbs 15:17-18. You had me look that up. Mm-hmm. It says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention."
Yeah. So even having a simple meal or a primitive meal or a non-fancy and non-expensive meal with love is better than a luxurious steakhouse dinner where there is no love. And we have had very primitive, inexpensive dinners with love. And we've also gone out to nice steakhouses with love.
Right.
And we've been able to have joy in those moments because of our relationship. And in some of those fancier restaurants, we've sat down maybe adjacent to other couples who don't say a word to each other the whole time.
Right.
They enjoy their $100 steak.
And on their phones separately. Yeah.
And so there's just maybe they've got lots of money, but they don't have the spark that they had in their relationship at one point.
Yeah. I mean, I often thank God probably every day for the joy of our marriage. Not that our marriage is perfect or there's never hard times, but it is a source of great joy every day. For so many years where I can see God's goodness and kindness to me by providing you as my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe like, wow, God, that is the best gift you could have given me besides your son is the man I sit across from right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Aw.
Yeah. I mean, marriage is a gift. And Paul calls it as such in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we can see the idea of the gift throughout other places in the Bible as well. So we should be happy, thankful recipients of this good gift that God has given us. It's a beautiful thing, and we should lean into it. And one of the ways we can do that is by putting work into our relationship and cultivating what is here, being good stewards with the gift, okay? All right, a fourth reason we think you should work on your marriage relationship is because circumstances are constantly changing, whether it be your job, your kids, various trials in your life or whatever. We live in a world that's always changing and things are always moving. And so we can't just have our relationship be the way it was when we first got married or in our first years of marriage or the way things used to be because it's different today than it was yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And we've got to adapt to it.
Yeah. I was just looking at your face. Remember your baby face when we got married? Now it's got a beard.
Wow. That's what you need to deal with is the way my face is what?
I mean, that's just
gotten more handsome.
Yes. You have increasingly
more mature.
Right. Yes. Little gray hairs coming. I mean, wait, what?
Just, look, your face looks the same.
No, that's not true. But it's so true. We're not the same people we were when we first got married and we don't have the same, budget. We have added children. We have grown and changed and matured, and we have gone through periods of struggle where, so it's like our marriage relationship has gone through the ups and downs and the twists and turns. And so sometimes you've got something kind of set up. We've got a good system or, wow, this is going well. And then you blink and you're like, oh, we need to come back to that. Because there's a new element to it. We have a teen. We have a driver. We have a newborn baby crying in the night. So, yeah. Circumstances, they're shifting around.
Totally. I remember meeting with a couple at one point for some marriage counseling, and they were just, down on the status of the relationship and the way things were going. And it's not like it used to be. And we realized in the course of some questions and some dialogue together that they had expectations that their relationship should be 10 years into the marriage, the way it was on the honeymoon, basically.
Right.
And I tried to point out, well, that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
You're not 22 years
old
anymore.
You're not that,
right? Like you've got different responsibilities and schedules and you just can't be disappointed if, you can't act like you're on your honeymoon 10 years later.
Right.
Like that's, you're imposing on yourself and on your relationship a standard that it just cannot bear.
Yeah.
You should lean into the fact that you're 10 years married and find new great ways of acting like you're married 10 years into it, and then 20 years into it, and then and beyond. So anyway, you've got to move with the circumstances, and that's our fourth reason. A fifth reason is that we believe in our world today, and really from day one or after the fall of mankind, that marriage is under attack. Sin affects what we do and poses all kinds of threats to the health of our relationship. And the enemy has, you know, takes great joy in separating people from one another, splitting up families, you know, wreaking all kinds of havoc in those ways. And our culture is just pushing back against the biblical principles for marriage.
They're so confused. The message is sent about, you know, is marriage even important? Why enter into marriage? How many people can be married? Who are the right people can be married? I mean, the way the world talks about marriage, it is not the same as what the Bible says. And we see those messages, whether we want to receive those messages or not, they're coming at us. And we need to stand for what God's word says and realize that sin is going to affect our marriage and affect the marriages around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we can sit around and not proactively work on our marriage. And at the same time, the enemy is proactively working to take our marriage down.
Right.
And that's a mismatch.
Yeah.
Right? So one big reason that we should work on it is because, well, there's an enemy and he's got a bullseye on this relationship here.
Yeah.
And so let's fight against that by proactively building a stronger marriage relationship with each other. All right, a sixth and final reason why we think you should work on your marriage is because, biblically speaking, your marriage reflects Christ and the church. And so we learn that from Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul announces the mystery that all along marriage was pointing to something greater than itself. It was pointing beyond itself to God's relationship with his people. And so if your marriage is a depiction to the world of Christ and the church, you should make it a good depiction. Make it a good representation of the way Jesus loves his people.
Yeah, I know. I strongly want those four little people in our home that keep eating everything. You know them. I want them to see what it is that Christ loves them so much that he came to earth and lived perfectly, went to the cross so that they could have a relationship with God. I want them to understand the gospel and to enter into a relationship with God because of what Jesus did. And we can talk about it, which we do. We can read the Bible about it, which we do. But they can see it lived out in our marriage relationship. They can see that we are not the same as their, you know, that person at school whose marriage is breaking up, or when they, you know, hang out with friends, they're on a sports team and they're looking at, you know, the couple that's screaming at each other or whatever it might be. They can see a different sort of picture, which is Christ. The way that Christ loves us is how we seek to love one another, and beyond our walls, of course. I mean, I just immediately think about our children, but I want my neighbors to see that. I want the person at the cash register at Ralph's, when we interact and laugh, to see that. I want it to be a billboard out there to everyone watching, pointing to something greater than just us.
Yeah, that's right. So those are six reasons. There are more, but those are some reasons that we think you should proactively work on your marriage relationship. And there's a number of ways for you to do that. There are great resources. Certainly being involved, actively involved in your local church is step number one. Reading your Bible and having a personal relationship with God is at the top of the list. Nothing can replace those critical components of your your life as a believer and your relationship with your spouse. In addition, we try to supply some supplementary material like this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, hopefully these little 15-minute episodes once a week, you can pop them on while you're driving to work or you're doing the dishes or whatever it is.
Right.
And these episodes, which we're back in the habit of weekly, Woo. You know, weekly,
Here we are.
Weekly podcast.
Boom.
Okay. These can help with that. But as we mentioned, we've got this brand new book that's out there, and that is certainly kind of a big way that you can proactively work on your marriage relationship. And so you can go to compasspress.com and you can click on Thriving Marriage, and you can find there this brand new resource that is going to walk you through step by step through these 10 different categories that are fundamental to the marriage relationship. And so we encourage you to check that out. And let us know what you think.
Yeah, be great. Looking forward to hearing your feedback. And thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Okay. All right. See you.